right? Does everybody like redemption stories? I love redemption stories, and those are my favorite kind of movies. Movies where someone who's defeated ends up the champion, someone who's really messed up gets restored and comes back, and sometimes they're even better than they were before. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, why is it that we like redemption stories? Why are those, for me, they're my favorite kind of movies, but why do people like redemption stories? Why are we drawn to that kind of thing? And as I was praying about this, I what came to mind was, do you think that maybe that's just the longing of our own heart? Do you think we like redemption stories because ultimately that's the longing that is in our own heart, is for redemption? Do you think that maybe, you know, it could be a longing of our heart, or maybe it's the cry of the Spirit inside of us? Or maybe if you've experienced that, maybe it's the reflection of that experience within your own life, right? It could be a total thing that you don't think about, and it's just, man, I like when that happens because I desire that for my life, or I like for that when that happens because I've experienced that and I know how great it is. Do you know that redemption is a basic need for all of creation, right? It's a basic need for all of creation, redemption. And this week we're looking at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 through 8. If you remember the last few weeks that I preached, I preached a message about being chosen, right? We are chosen in Christ by the Father before the foundation of the earth, for the universe was even created. God wanted you then, and he still does today. Praise God. That's a great thing, right? God wanted you before the foundation of the earth. He still wants you today. And that was the message a few weeks ago. And here we're going to transition a little bit. We're going to move on from the Father's election to the Son's redemption. And this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And I love it. I love the redemption again. As we read that, if you want to turn there, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 through 8. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask right now, as we read your word, as we read the words, the words of life, the words that give life, the words that penetrate the heart, God, we ask by the power of the Holy Spirit that you would speak to our hearts, that you would give us revelation of your word, God, that it would impact our lives to change us for your good, for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 through 8 says this, in him, that's in Jesus, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Redemption. This is one of the spiritual blessings that God was talking, that Paul was talking about in verse 3. Right? We read through this whole section here up through verse 14. It's really one long sentence, and it's packed with spiritual blessings. How many of you have ever thought of redemption being a spiritual blessing? Right? Sometimes we just take it for granted, like that's part of the process. Now, what happens after that? Redemption is a huge part of the spiritual blessing that God has for your life. Each and every person on the face of the earth has a need for redemption. Okay? Redemption takes place when a ransom is paid to free somebody from captivity. Okay? Captive is exactly what we are if we are not in Christ. Right? That's what we are, is we are captive. See, I used to be in this boat. I used to be one of these people that thought, I do not want to be a Christian. I don't want to be stuck in these rules, these regulations, right? I don't want to be like in slavery and I got to do all these things. That's what I used to think, okay? I was the kid that I used to claim to be an atheist. Me and Christy got married. You know, when we were dating, that's what I told her. And ultimately, you know, I was just trying to be the cool guy, right? I like to be different than everybody else. So I was just trying to be cool, so I would tell people that. But you know, the fact of the matter is I was already in bondage. I was already in captivity to the world, to Satan, to sin, to everything that is not of God. And so everybody needs to be freed, because if you're not in Christ, then you are already bound. And because we were born a slave to sin, right? From the fall of man, from the beginning with Adam Adam in the Garden of Eden when he sinned, and without Christ, we're a slave to the law. right? And the Ten Commandments are good. I preached a whole series on that and how they're still applicable today. But if you're a slave to the law, you're a slave to those commandments. And how many of you know that none of us can perfectly obey those Ten Commandments? None of us. James chapter 2 verse 10 says this, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of it all." Now, if you don't know the Ten Commandments, they're in Exodus chapter 20. Great read if you want to go home and look that up. But I'm going to tell you this right here, what James said. If you don't keep the whole thing, if you stumble in one little piece of it, you're guilty of it all. I'm going to tell you that we've all already blown it. We've all messed up. We've all blown it. And I'll tell you what, you can't even get past the first one. The very first commandment, have no other gods besides me. You can't get past that one. You've done ruined it. Okay? We let all kinds of things be God in our life. All kinds of things. Anything you let rule over you is God for you at that point in time. Anything that you worship is God. Right? You have blown it. We've blown the first one. We're done. I mean, you can read the other nine. They're great. They're a good thing to keep in mind. But I'm saying that you can't keep it all. And if you stumble in any one part, James tells us that you're guilty of the whole thing. The whole thing. I've got to tell you something today. And this is a little bit of a reality check. I met with one of my old pastors this last week, Ian Stamps. Some of you guys know him. I met with him and we were talking about some stuff. And he told me this. He said, you know, something that we have to remember on a daily basis is that God does not owe us anything. And I was like, you're right. Like, he doesn't owe us a thing. He doesn't owe us anything. There's nothing that he has to do for us. He has a law and we have violated it, right? He had a standard and we have ruined it. And you know what? He would be perfectly justified in saying, you guys have all messed up, and I'm leaving you where you're at. And he would be perfectly justified. He'd be good. Hear that. He would still be good in doing that because he set a standard, he communicated it, and we've messed it up. That wouldn't make him bad. It would make him good. And I know you might think, in what universe is that good? Right? That you let people be damned, let people go down the wrong path. God is just. God is righteous. This means that he's fair and that he's right in all things that he does. Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." God in his goodness sent his son to die on the cross in your place to take the penalty that you owe upon his shoulders, so that you could have eternal life in him. Praise God, right? He would have been justified in leaving us where we're at, but he sent Jesus to die on the cross to take our place, to give us a second chance. This is the greatest redemption story in the history of the world. And guess what? We all get to be a part of it. You all have the opportunity to be a part of it. How many of you would love to have the starring role in a movie? Probably not many of you, probably stage fright, okay, but you have the primary role in an epic story, your life. You realize that? You have the leading role of an epic story that can be a redemption story. You're the star of your life. Man, God has given us that opportunity. God has given us that blessing. Ephesians 1:7, again, it says, "In him we have redemption through his blood." It's only available in Jesus. Listen, it's not available in any other thing. It's not available in any other religion. It's not available in any things that we can do, right? I'm a very task-oriented person. I like to have a task list. The one that I use has little check boxes. I love it because when I get to check that box, I'm like, yeah. That one, because it disappears then too. It goes away. I love that. But you know what? Christianity is not a task-oriented process, right? You give your life to Jesus, man, and you let him take control. You let him be the taskmaster. You let him direct you. It's not about just checking boxes so you can get to heaven. It's only available in Jesus, this redemption. And you know what? What's great about Jesus is not just where redemption comes from, but in Christ, that's where redemption lives. That's where redemption remains. It's not found just in him, but it remains in him. If you're redeemed, you are free. Freedom reigns in Christ, right? That's where it reigns. That's where it has authority. That's where it lasts, is in Christ. John 8:36 says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Free from what? Free from the law, free from sin, free from Satan, free from this evil world. Man, freedom given through Christ, it is the only true freedom. Again, I used to think like freedom is me doing what I want when I want, right? Freedom is I don't have to listen to my mom, right? When I was 18, I thought that was freedom. I don't have to listen to her anymore. I can do whatever I want. I thought that before I was 18, okay? But I thought that was freedom, making the decisions that I want, what I think is best. No, that's not freedom. Freedom is when Jesus sets you free from the law of sin and death, when Jesus sets you free from the cares of this life, quite frankly, and thinking about how I can do this and I can do that, to where you focus on him and, man, what can I do through him? Jesus, what can you do through me? That is true freedom. It's the only true freedom. And if you've been redeemed, then you should know this feeling, okay? And if you've not, then today is your day, man. You're going to get an opportunity to experience that today. Believe that. In Christ, you have redemption through his blood. This is what the word of God says. You have redemption through his blood. I'm going to tell you what that word have means. It means you possess it. You possess it. This means you continually have redemption. Redemption is not a thing where like today I'm redeemed, tomorrow I'm not. Right? You've been freed. If you've been freed, if the penalty's been paid and you've been freed, then you're free. Okay? That's not, Christianity doesn't work with the you going back in jail and getting out and back in jail and getting out and back in, no. Jesus paid the price in full. Paid in full, and you are free. You possess it. You continually have it. You have it, and you are still going to have it. Okay? Redemption, an amazing blessing. I found this quote by Henrietta Mears, and it said this: redemption is the most glorious work of God. It is far greater than his work of creation. He spoke a word and the worlds were formed, but it cost him the life of his beloved Son to redeem the world. Man, thank you, Jesus. What a glorious thing. Let's look at redemption this way. How many of you have a TV? I know more of you got a TV than that. How many of you got 6 TVs? All right, there's still hands going up. Okay, we have TVs, and TVs are cool, right? You can do some good things with TV. They can be useful, right? TVs, you can get some entertainment off of a TV. You can get some information, some education even off of a TV. For those of you who are not like very much into technology, you probably get like weather and all kinds of stuff off TV. The news, I don't watch any of that stuff because I get it on my phone, all right? But TV can be a very useful thing. It's very useful to many people. Let's say you're in a bind, right? You need some cash. You can take that TV. I'm short. I'm in a pinch. I'm going to take it to the pawn shop. We got a pawn shop in Effingham still, all right? You take your TV over to the pawn shop, and I'm going to tell you something. No matter how many channels you have on that TV, no matter how many movies you have, at that point, that TV is of no use to you in its current state in the pawn shop, right? You can look at that DirecTV box and be like, what good is that doing me? I got like 650 channels and I can't watch a one, right? I got 500 Blu-rays and I can't watch a single one of them. My TV is gone. The TV at that point is not useful to you in its current state. But let's say things turn around. Let's say you were just short and because some big unexpected expense came up. You got your paycheck and you go back and you're like, you know what? I want my TV back. Here's my money. I'm going to pay for my TV. I'm going to redeem my TV from the pawn shop. And it's at that point that the TV returns to its original purpose, to its full usefulness, to its full potential. I'm going to tell you in a similar way, every man has been born into sin, into slavery in its natural state through Adam. And hear me out, is useless to God for the purposes that God designed them for. Okay? At that point, when you're steeped in sin, you are, I'm not saying God doesn't care about you, hear me right. At that point, steeped in sin, you are useless to God for the purposes that he created for you to do. But Jesus, say, but Jesus. Okay, but Jesus, his blood paid the necessary redemption price to restore us to our full usefulness. Man, that is a glorious thing. That Jesus paid the price to restore us to our full usefulness. Not half usefulness, full. It's all there. Through redemption on the cross, you are fully useful for God to use. You're fully available for God to use. The redemption of mankind reflects the goodness and the love of God. It reflects the goodness and the love of God. You know, again, he could have said, forget that. He could have said, I'm going to leave this world, I'm going to leave this universe over here to just do whatever happens, and whatever happens will be justified, just like you could have left that TV at the pawn shop and went and bought another, right? God could have done that. And again, he would not have been bad. He would have been fully justified in doing that. You could have bought another TV, but I tell you what, if you love that TV, if you're like, man, that's just the best TV. It fits right on the wall or on the stand. I like the way it operates. I got a TV. I don't like the way it operates, right? It's like real slow. You push a button and you're like, come on, change, right? But you love this TV. If you love that TV, you're like, man, I don't want another TV. How many of you hate when you have something you love and it breaks and you got to go buy some piece of junk to take its place, right? But if you love that TV, you're going to like, I'm going to pay whatever it costs to get my TV back. Because another just won't do. I'm going to tell you today that God loves you and another just won't do. There's not something or somebody that can take your place. Right? When God created you, he created you because he wants you. Because he loves you. Because he has a plan for you. Because he desires you. Not because, well, you're no good anymore. I'll just have somebody else step in and take your place. You're useless to me. No. He pursues you. We're going to hear about that in a little bit today. He pursues you. He comes after you. He keeps seeking you. And he keeps coming after you and coming after you and coming after you. His love is unfailing until you give in. Because another just won't do. Man, you got to know that today, that you are unlike anybody else. Sometimes I say to my family, any of the three of them, I could say this, I'll be like, you're something else. And then they got to decide if that's good or bad, right? You are something else. But man, you are something else. You realize that there is no replacement for you. There is nothing that God would rather have than you. And so today, know that no one can take your place. God loves you. He sent his son for you to be redeemed, freed you from the law of sin and death, frees you from guilt and shame, and is calling you into something greater. And if you give your life to Jesus, you will be redeemed. It's glorious. Full price is paid. The full penalty is paid. But there's more. You will be forgiven. Do you know that forgiveness is another spiritual blessing? It kind of goes with redemption, but it's a whole different spiritual blessing. Redemption frees you from sin's power so that it can no longer rule over you. And that's a great thing. But forgiveness is where God wipes the slate clean so that that sin doesn't hang over your head any longer. Man, that is a great thing. You want forgiveness. You don't just want redemption. You want forgiveness. You want that slate wiped clean. As Isaiah 43:25 says, I, only I, am he who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. That my friends, is forgiveness. What you and I tend to do a lot of times isn't forgiveness, right? I forgive you, but I'll never forget. Okay? And I understand sometimes we got to learn from what happens, and we got to guard ourselves, we got to protect ourselves. But man, God says, when I forgive you, I wipe the slate clean. If you're in Christ, it's as if you've never done it. It's as if it never happened. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Man, do you know how far the east is from the west? No, you don't. And there's no end. For those that don't know, we don't live in it's not a flat map, right, where you can measure from side to side. East and the west just keeps going around and around and around. That's how far God removes the transgressions from us. That's amazing. I think from here to St. Louis is pretty far. I go to St. Louis sometimes. Maybe from here to like Milwaukee. I don't have any reason to go to Milwaukee. If my sins were just that far away, I'd probably be good. From the east to the west, that's how far God removes those from you. What an amazing God. Man, you see at the heart of the universe, there's a heart. The heart of God. And the heart of God is love. Listen, he's not like us. We've got to remember this. God is not supposed to be like us. We are supposed to be like him. There's a big difference there. God is not supposed to be like us. We are supposed to be like him. His love is unfailing. His love is relentless. His love breaks the chains of bondage, sets the captives free, heals the broken heart, redeems and forgives. Man, that is the heart of God. And today I want to tell you that God is for you, not against you. God is for you. God is on your side. He's rooting for you. And today, whatever you are facing in life, know that God is for you and he desires the best for you. Man, I don't know about you, but that's an awesome God to serve. A God who wants the best for me. He doesn't necessarily want what I want for me. He wants the best for me. He wants you as his own to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit in relationship with him. And it's only available because of his love through this little thing called grace. Back to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. The last part of that says, according to the riches of his grace. You know, people think that when we are not redeemed, when we're not forgiven, again, that God is mean, that God is cruel. But again, we have to remember that it's you and I who have broken the rules, right? It's you and I that have broken the rules. It's you and I who have sinned. But God, amazing in love, offers us grace. He offers us grace. This is undeserved favor. It's undeserved favor, a free gift that cannot be earned. And he gives it to us. I'm going to tell you that once you figure out that you can earn grace, it's no longer grace. Right? If you can earn it, it's not grace. That's something else. This is the avenue that God uses to offer salvation to those who would follow Jesus. Redemption, forgiveness, salvation. Believe and receive. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9, what Mark shared earlier. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Man, grace means that we can do nothing to make ourselves right with God. You can't do anything to make yourself right with God. You can't do anything to keep yourself right with God, because it's not about works. It's not about the things that you do. Okay? Baptism, we're going to experience later today. Amazing thing. Baptism is an obedience thing. Baptism is, I am declaring to you that I'm giving my life to Jesus. Baptism is an outward declaration of an inward transformation. And that's what it is. And the reason we do it in front of people is because you're declaring that to other people, and you're declaring, hey, now you guys all get to hold me accountable. I didn't tell you that part, did I? You guys all get to hold me accountable because I'm declaring this in front of you all. Okay? Baptism does not save your soul. That's a fact. It doesn't save. It's evidence of a redeemed person. is the evidence of a redeemed person. It's an obedience factor. Next week we'll be taking communion. Same thing. You cannot, communion itself does not save you. You can be saved while taking communion. I absolutely believe that. But communion itself does not have the power to save. It's an obedience factor, right? You're doing something that Christ instructed us to do to remember his death. Remember what he has done for us. It's not about works. If you add anything to grace to create some kind of formula for salvation, you'll do what Mark was talking about earlier. You'll boast in that thing, right? Look at what I did. I got baptized. I took communion. I lived a perfect day, right? Like whatever you've done that you think you can add to grace to come up with salvation, you will boast in that thing. We're saved by grace through faith alone. We're saved by grace through faith alone. And it's in Christ alone, and it's for the glory of God alone. That's the formula. Saved by grace through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. Do you believe that God has enough grace for you, for your life? Man, I tell you what, there's been some days, some times in my life where I wondered, you know? And I've shared this before, like, I'm the kind of person, like, I don't need to know, there's a line in the carpet, you guys can't see it. I don't need to know where this line is at. Okay, if I knew where the line was for grace, this is how I would be. I'd be like, can I get any closer? And then what happens? Then when you mess up one more time, you're done. You're toast. I'd be all the way there. Me and Jason were watching a basketball game last week, and there's a player, a great player. He had his toe on the line. It was like when he went forward, his toe went on the line. It was like, dude, that's a foul. You get no shot for that if it gets caught, right? I mean, he was right up on that line. That's where I would be with grace if I knew where that line was, right? I would have pushed myself to the limit at some point, and I would have faulted and went over that line. But God has enough grace for you. Do you know that he even has enough grace for the absolute worst of sinners? And that might, maybe that's still you. I don't know. He has enough grace for the worst of sinners. God has enough grace. There are things in this world that we marvel at, wonderful things that are skillfully crafted by God. Whether you want to argue they were done in the flood or God did them naturally or whatever, ultimately it was still at his hands. Things like Niagara Falls. Do you know what Niagara Falls, about 200,000 tons of water fall per minute. That's a lot of water. That much plunges down into that Niagara River from about 12 stories high, and it sounds like thunder. Every minute, that much water. And I imagine it sounds like thunder there. I haven't been there. One of these days we're going to go. But I imagine that sound of thunder as they describe it is like creation itself, like applauding God and the beauty, the majesty of his creation. You know that we're told in Revelation that, the rocks will cry out. The rocks will cry out and praise God, right? And that's what I imagine right there in Niagara Falls. We got an example of it. We got an example of the earth applauding and celebrating and praising God and his beautiful creation. But you know, God could have used a little less water, right? I mean, come on, 200,000 tons is a little excessive. It's kind of ridiculous. He could have made it a little bit lower. But I want to tell you, the reason I'm sharing this is we need to know that our God is a God of abundance. You need to know that God is a God of abundance. God is a God that tends to do things that are not ordinary to man. That's a great thing, that God tends to do things that are not ordinary to man. And like these falls, the riches of his grace abound toward us. This means that we have grace in exceeding measure, something above and beyond the ordinary. Other translations say God lavished his grace on us. This means that he gave it in great amounts. And I don't know about you, but again, I'm glad for that. I'm not a saver by nature, okay? My mom taught me as a child, pay your bills on time. And so I did. I was good at that. But I spent every penny that I had, right? I started working when I was 14, and I spent a lot of money, right? But I always got my bills paid. I'm not a saver by nature. It's just not who I am. I have had to train myself. My wife's had to train me somewhat, but I've trained myself also. And I exercise self-control to save money, okay? Had grace been given in some small measure, you know, like I imagine like cough syrup or eyedropper or whatever, you get your little 10 milliliters, and God's like, beep, get you like a little one drop of grace. Dude, I would have used it all up. I'm not very good at saving. I would have been like, all right, that's gone. Where's some more? Hand me some more. But God's grace is abundant. This word for lavished in the Greek, it actually means to exceed some number, some measure, some rank, some need, over and above. He doesn't even just give you, it's not even like he knows, Ashton, you need this much grace and that's what I'm going to give you. No, he gives you above and beyond. He gives you more grace than what you actually need for your life. Grace superabounds. It's considerably more than what is expected or needed. Back to Ephesians, he wraps that up and he says that he gives us that according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. The superabundance of grace at the moment of redemption. It's received and it includes all wisdom and insight. Okay, so that means we should know everything, right? We should be set. We should be good to go. That's not what it means. This at the moment that grace is received, the moment that we are saved by our faith in Jesus, there's a radical transformation that happens in your heart and your mind. Right? You may not see it all, but there is a change that takes place. That's why I'm careful about going through salvation with people, and I want to take a moment. It's not just praying a prayer, but it's okay. Here's what's going on. When you're preaching the gospel, it's a lot easier to follow it up, okay? But when you're meeting with somebody, you want to explain it. It's more than just what you say, but it's a transformation that takes place on the inside, okay? At the moment that grace is received, there's this radical change that happens. Wisdom and understanding come. You gain understanding in the reality of things, okay? All of a sudden, you understand spiritual things like there's a difference in life and death. Spiritually, we all know that there is naturally. You know that spiritually there's a difference. You know that there's a difference between righteousness and sin. You know there's a difference spiritually between heaven and hell, between eternity and time. You have wisdom concerning the things of God. That's what Paul is referencing here. It's not that you have all wisdom and all insight, but you do have those things when it pertains to God because the Holy Spirit now indwells you. Bam, you've got it. You have to access it. It's not just all going to, you might not just going to be able to quote the Bible without reading it, probably. Maybe, if the Holy Spirit does it, it's possible. But what it means is you know him. Now Jesus isn't just, you know, a legend. He's not just a story, but instead he becomes truly the Lord and Savior of your life. Man, it has to be more than something you say. There has to be a changing of your heart, a knowing in your spirit, a decision to follow Jesus. John 10, 27 and 28 says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Man, thank you, Jesus. Do you know his voice today? Do you know his voice? Because he says, my sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They make a decision to follow me. Salvation by grace results in a life of following Jesus Christ and obeying his commandments. That's what it results in. Obedience, I'm going to tell you, is the product of salvation. It is not the cause of salvation. It's the product of salvation. Salvation empowers us to live for God. And when God saves a person, he enlightens them. He gives his children wisdom and insight. The last verse I'm going to share right now is 2 Corinthians 4, 6. It says this, "For God who said, let light shine out of darkness has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. He says, let light shine out of darkness, and he shines that light on people's hearts, and we see people's hearts and lives changed and transformed forever. Right? This is what we experienced just a couple weeks ago right here in this very church. God's light shined on a young man's heart and changed his life forever. A miracle. Listen, I was telling Cameron this before service. When we say we want to see a miracle in church, what we normally mean is I want to see somebody coming in a wheelchair and get up and walk. I want to see someone who's blind all of a sudden see. I want to see a leg that's shorter than the other grow back. And those are all fantastic things. I believe in them all, and I think it is a miracle when they happen. But those are what we would call big miracles. The biggest, greatest miracle that God ever does on this earth is when he turns a heart to him. It's the greatest miracle. There is nothing greater that can happen. Guys, this is the greatest thing that happens in the church, is when a person has that light comes on and they come out of the darkness and into the life and they live for Jesus Christ. It's it. That's what we're here for. We're here to worship God and for that to happen. And so right now, I'm going to have Cameron come forward. I'm going to tell you, he's going to share his testimony with you. And man, I'm believing in God to speak to our hearts through the testimony of what he's done in this young man's life that we have been praying for. Listen, Tuesday nights, we've prayed for Cameron, right? His mom, his dad, I know his family's been praying for him. But man, God showed up and did something amazing in his life. So let's hear about it.
Thank you. First of all, I just want to thank my mom for never giving up on me. And for everyone here who never gave up on me. It really means a lot. Secondly, I'm going to say a short prayer, and then I'll get into my testimony. Dear Heavenly Father, please open up the hearts of everyone in this room right now, because what we see with an open heart is far more important than what we see with open eyes, Lord. And invade this place with your Holy Spirit. And I pray for strength just to get through this right now. And I pray that you use me as a vessel and speak through me and enlighten me as I speak to everyone here today. In your name I pray, amen. Last week, AJ, he spoke about just when God gives you an opportunity, you have to go. So I'm here. I'm going. And, I mean, you can't really say no when God puts you in a position to be successful or share about him. You have to go and do what he's telling you to do. And, two weeks ago, I never thought that I would be in this position. I never thought that God would use me in the way that he has in the past 2 weeks. And I was going through addiction, and I was struggling with what I thought was anxiety and depression. But I realized that God can break all chains. It doesn't matter what they are. It doesn't matter how far away from God you are. He can come and grab you by the palm of his hand. And whenever I got pulled over, December 21st, my sister's birthday, I got a DUI. And you would think that would open your eyes to the bigger picture and make you realize that you have more to live for than just drinking on the weekends and getting high every day. But no, it didn't open my eyes then. I kept drinking, and I kept going farther and farther away from God. And finally, 2 weeks ago, John Spreacher, he came and he talked about giving it to God, giving whatever you have to God. It doesn't matter what it is, because he's going to take care of it. So that's exactly what I did. I gave my problems to God, and he fixed them. Like, it's crazy. I don't understand how or why, but he's got me. God has got me, and God is great. Oh, he's so great. And I know it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what you're going through, because God, he's always there. He's never going to fail. He never gives up on anyone. And anyways, 2 weeks ago, I was sitting in a pew, and we were praying a prayer of repentance. And I had my eyes closed, saying the prayer, because I wanted to be saved. And with my eyes closed, I saw myself rolling around in my bed. And I feel like I know it was me, because I couldn't sleep. I had to sleep with a nightlight on because of depression and anxiety. It would all sneak up on me at nighttime, and I never thought that that it could be fixed. So I feel like, I don't know, I saw myself rolling around in bed, and next I looked down, I see Hunter. He was laying there. And he said, "It's going to be okay." And then I look up, and I saw the most beautiful, most godly being that I have ever seen in my entire life. The most beautiful picture. I can't explain it. It was absolutely unreal. And God really opened my heart. He opened my mind. He opened my soul that day to everything. And I'm just here as living, breathing word, that God can break chains no matter what. And it doesn't matter how far you are away from God, he can do greater things than this earth can imagine. And I never thought that God would use me in the way that he did. But he wants me. And he's got me. So. And I'm ready to declare my life for Jesus. I'm ready to get in the water, as you can see. So I hope this is a word of encouragement. And I hope that everybody can hear me out. I'm changed forever.
Man, praise God. That is awesome, right? I mean, that is awesome. And what a testimony. What a testimony that that is of God working a miracle in somebody's life. And I want to tell you, I'm not at all using this as a plug. Like, this is really how I feel. That right there is why you shouldn't miss church. You have no idea what God has for you today. When you show up in this place, you show up if you go to another church, when you show up in that church, you don't know what God has planned for your life that day. You know, you don't know what could happen. And so I understand if you're out of town or whatever, but I'm just saying some people dismiss church for anything. What if Cameron had not come that morning 2 weeks ago? What if he hadn't come that morning? You never know what God's going to do because he does the unexpected. You never know when you're going to have that life-changing experience. And I'm going to tell you, even this, parents, it is okay to make your children come to church. Cheryl made Cameron come that morning. He told me this. He's the last one out of bed, and she said, no, you're going to church. Get up. Let's go. It's okay to make your children come to church. Don't worry if they're going to be mad at you, mad at God, and hate the church. You know what? You put them in a position to have an opportunity for God to minister to them, and you let God worry about that. Because this right here is the result of what could happen, is a changed life right here before our very own eyes. Man, I'm telling you, this is an answer to prayer. This is what we seek for. This is what we desire of God each and every Sunday morning. Amen? Stand to your feet with me. We're going to pray for a moment, and then we're going to have an opportunity for prayer before we get back in the waters. If you would, close your eyes. Open your head. I want your minds open, all right? Your minds and heart open. Close your eyes, bow your head. And I just want you to think about this for just a moment. Again, this is an answer to prayer. God's super abounding grace that he showed to Cameron, he has for you. Now, I'm going to tell you that a great, awesome, powerful testimony for you, it may not look the same, but I'm going to tell you that the God that is behind it is exactly the same. And forgiveness is the same. I'm going to tell you the redemption is the same. I'm going to tell you that the grace is the same. But think about this statement right here. The same God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," in the creation, said, let light shine out of darkness in salvation. It's the same God. Same God that said, let the light shine out of the darkness at creation, says, let the light shine in the darkness at salvation. His heart is for you today. It is for you. He's lavished his grace upon us. It doesn't matter where we are right now, what condition our life is in. What matters is that we have a God who offers redemption and forgiveness, and it's our choice to accept his offer or to not. Today we can make the choice, being dead in trespasses and sin, or to partake in the life of Jesus, who was dead and is alive forevermore. Today, we get to make the choice if we're going to walk according to the course of this world in disobedience and wrath, or if we're going to walk according to the power of the Holy Spirit who is working in us and is leading all men unto salvation. Today, we get to declare, we get to decide whether we're going to put on or wear that old man that is corrupt according to the lusts that deceive us, or if we're going to put on the new man that is found in Jesus Christ, in righteousness and holiness and truth. And so we say right now, God, help us to make the right choice. Father, we just ask you right now, Lord. God, we ask you to open our hearts, our minds. God, let us see you for who you truly are. Lord, let us see ourselves, Lord, not as we see us, but as you see us, Lord. And if that's in darkness, if that's in sin, if that's in a place of hurting and brokenness, and maybe we don't even realize it, Lord, reveal that to us right now by your Holy Spirit. Lord, if you see us in Christ, if we've made that decision, Lord, declare to us who we are in your eyes, that we are a saint, that we are righteous, that the things that may be weighing us down, Lord, that we don't have to be subject to them any longer. That you've put all those things under the feet of Jesus Christ. And if we are joint heirs to the throne, which we are if we're in Christ, then those things are also under our feet. And that you'd make that clear to us right now in our minds and our hearts. Turn our hearts toward you, Lord. We just declare that you are good, that you love us, that you desire to have relationship with each and every one of us. And so we ask for that right now, Lord. Holy Spirit, have your way with these people in this room, including myself, Lord. It's your will to be done, not mine, not ours. We ask you to invade this place right now, invade our hearts and our lives. Change us forever, that we could leave this place. God, we all desire to see our world be better, but the way that the world is better is that if it sees more of you. God, that's the only way that our world is better, is if we see more of you in it. And God, you use us. You use us to be that light in the darkness. You're using Cameron to be that light in the darkness in places that 2 weeks ago he wasn't the light. God, we need you to use us. We need you to birth, Lord, hunger and passion for you in people, God, that we could see our world bettered and changed because you are in it more. And so we ask you right now, have your way with our hearts this morning. Change our lives for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Right now, we're going to open up the altars. I'm going to be down here for prayer. I'm going to have Mark, who's an elder of the church, will be available for prayer. If today, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior and you want to, if today's your day, I want you to come and we'll pray with you. If today you're hurting and you're broken, maybe you know Jesus as Lord, but you feel beat up and you feel discouraged and you need a pick-me-up, you need God to do something great in your life. Listen, this is an altar for sinners, which we all are. There's no judgment here. There's only grace and salvation, forgiveness. And so if that's you today, if any of those things fit you today, we're going to have a moment of prayer. I want you to come forward. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Today is your day, and let's worship the King of Kings.